Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Lindsay W., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater in Houston, Texas. Today is Thursday, March 13th, 2025, and today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are on page 84, the fourth line from the top. We will lose interest in selfish things through two sentences ending, self-seeking will slip away, and we'll be commenting on those two sentences. Today's readers are, for the 12 steps, Patty F., the 12 traditions, Maria H., and then readers of the text will be Tony B. and Tamara C., and our backup this morning is Susan G. Our newcomer greeter is Reba P., and the second hour host is Eileen M. The reference numbers for yesterday, Wednesday, March 12th, are for the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, 22,346, 22346, and then the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 22,347. So that's 22347. OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Patty F. to please read the 12 steps. Good morning, Patty.
12 steps. This is Patty, compulsive overeater from Massachusetts. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood it. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening, as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message, compulsive overeaters, and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you.
Thank you, Patty F. And I will now ask Maria H. to read the 12 traditions.
Thank you. Good morning. It's Maria H. in Georgia. 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, as problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Pass.
Thank you, Maria H. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. So today, we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we are on page 84, the fourth line from the top. We will lose interest in selfish things through two sentences ending, self-seeking will slip away. And I will now ask Tony B. to begin reading for us. Good morning, Tony.
Good morning. Thank you very much. Yes, it's Tony B., gratefully recovered in Scotland. We will lose interest in selfish things and gain interest in our fellows. Self-seeking will slip away. Well, I can talk to you about selfish things, that's for sure. Bring me comfort, give me an easy life, take care of me, understand me. My eating was certainly selfish. I would think, I don't know what I fancy to eat, so I'm just going to have a pile of butter on crackers and cheese before you get home from work, and then I'll complain that I'm depressed and couldn't cook for you. I'm only concerned with what I need and what suits me. You want to meet up or have a conversation with me or go on an outing? I don't care. I want to haul up and self-soothe with the food. So, okay, these are extremes, but now the food's down and quiet. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to these steps and to you all, my teachers. But I am still basically selfish and self-seeking. Not so glaring now, but what I'm grateful for is the beginning of these promises. I'm going to know. I'm going to lose and gain these things. And going, acting, moving on, going on in order to gain these promises. It's continual. It's not a one-time magic change. So I came into OA. I sought an answer. That was a good first action for change right there. I admitted powerlessness. I have this disease that no human power can fix it. I saw in you what God could do. You weren't eating and you were finding these promises. I heard it on this line. And I did the work thus far with a sponsor. I followed the clear-cut directions 4 through 9. And now I keep going in order to going to know these things. I gain interest in my fellows. I have to, or I die. I must work intensively with other compulsive overeaters. It works when nothing else does. And I must do 10th steps. So after a 10th step, I turn my thoughts to someone. I make an outreach and ask, how are you? And in my 11th steps, I consider others. You know, how have I shown up today? What can I do better? And so, because of this, I keep learning and growing, and I'm so grateful. What a way of life. Thank you for letting me share, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Tony B. in Scotland, for getting us started this morning. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share this morning?
Tamara C.
Rivka R.
Nancy P.
Elena C.
Monica F.
Janice. And Janice P.
All right. So let me tell you who I have. I've got Tamara C., Nancy P., Elena C., Monica S., Janice P.M., and Rivka R. Anybody else want to hop in real quick?
Sandy S. from Florida.
Sandy S., I gotcha. All right, let's start with that lineup. So we will get started with Tamara C., followed by Nancy P. Good morning, Tamara.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for your service, Lindsay. This is Tamara C., recovered compulsive overeater in Missouri. We will lose interest in selfish things, so my interest in selfish things looks like me being consumed with, am I okay and am I enough? Even like, am I kind enough? Am I generous enough? But it's still about me. So my old pattern was I would notice that I did harm to someone and my reaction was, oh no, I can't be that person. I can't be a mean person. I need to be kind. I need them to see me as kind. I need everyone involved to see me as kind. And it was really, really me being a self-seeker and trying to manage well. But as I did step nine, and I continue to practice step nine, this promise of gaining interest in my fellows, there is this little shift. There's something about leveling my pride and speaking the truth about my humanness and making amends that it opens my heart to really genuinely want to connect with the other person. It allows space for me to see them through a lens of compassion, and my this new pattern that is gradually being replaced by my higher power, is replacing my old pattern is, oh no, that person is hurt. What can I do? What is in their best interest? And sometimes, like, what's in their best interest, it may not make me look kind or generous, and that's okay. I really care more about their well-being. Maybe the best thing for them is for me to give them space and let them work it out or even let them have consequences, but not so much about, am I okay? Do I look good? This self-seeking slipping away, it's been very, very gradual for me with a lot of in and out of this defect. But I can see God's handiwork. I can see progress in this promise coming true, a trend moving away from self-seeking. So as I live in step nine, I'm practicing all I've learned in these pages, and I just keep sweeping away the new debris that comes from my effort to live on self-will and run the show myself, and it doesn't accumulate. And I turn back to my higher power and ask for strength and direction, and then self-seeking just keeps slipping away a little bit further, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Tamara C. in Missouri. And then next up is Nancy P., followed by Elena C. and Monica F. Good morning, Nancy.
Good morning, Nancy P. Kevin Weston, Massachusetts. So I didn't notice self-seeking slipping away. That's the whole point, right? It just sort of slipped away. And I remember when I first decided that I wanted to recover, it wasn't really a slog. I just, you know, kept my mouth shut, kept my ears open, kept my head down, and did what I was told. And then one day I was sitting at my desk at work, and I looked up and I realized it had been 6 weeks since I had eaten compulsively in any way, thought about food. I just, things had changed. And, you know, but again, you know, when I came to A Vision for You, I was really at the bottom. And you know, I thought it was just another thing, right? Here, some of the methods we tried. I didn't know that I was going to recover. I didn't know, like, today it's over 7 years, almost 7.5 years since I hurt myself at school or done anything, like, really awful. Sorry to train again. But yet here I am. And I did gain I was in the
Nancy, we're having a hard time hearing you.
All right, I'll speak up a little bit. I was having, you know, my daughter was in crisis. She was in and out of the hospital, and I was, you know, my job was terrible. And today, I have other challenges that are not those things, but are other things. And yet, my feelings don't own me. I have room in my life to attend to those things. And the best thing of all is that the life that I have, forget about the abstinence, I don't even like that word, but my relationship with food is the least significant relationship in my life. My relationship with other people has come to the forefront, and I don't want to be trapped in just abstinence. That's where my journey began, and I am so grateful that today I have a life second to none. I mean, the riches that I have in my life cannot be quantified in 3 minutes. I've never been happier, and except that I know that I'll be happier tomorrow than I am today. And if the recent past is any indication. And I'll close by saying that gaining interest in my fellows has been, you know, an honor, a joy, and a privilege. And it all started with just that one first day, one thing, surrender, and with that I'll pass.
Thank you, Nancy P. in Massachusetts. And then next up, we have Elena C., followed by and Janice P.M. Good morning, Elena, and please let us know where you're calling from.
Sure. Good morning, moderator. You are doing a wonderful job. Elena C. Recovered today from South Carolina. I'm originally from Romania, but wonderful to... To sentences and wonderful shares. And I looked at the definition of selfishness in the dictionary, and there's so many other adjectives that describe it. Among those, egocentrism, egotism, egomania, self-obsession, lack of consideration. But listen to this one, looking after number one. Looking after number one. I want to be number one. The world revolves around me. Now, the opposite here, it says, is altruism, generosity. And that's just absolutely beautiful, because I've been, before I came here, I have been a member of Al-Anon for 22 years. And I never thought of myself of being selfish, never, ever. So for me, being selfish today is wanting something for other people to follow my script, to do something that I want them to do so I can gain something from it. You know, and I really thought that was fine. And I am so grateful for this program, because today I can say, of course, I will have selfish behaviors. I don't think that will ever go away, because I'm human. And you know, God, listen to this one. My recovery is telling me, God understands that. I don't have to beat myself up for it. Absolutely not. All I have to do is wake up every morning and check myself out, stay in close contact with my higher power, and check myself out. And I have a 10-step partner. Every day we meet, and I'm checking for that. And usually it's when I have a resentment towards someone that my selfishness comes into play. And, you know, yesterday my 11-step partner just gave me this wonderful compliment about myself, and I didn't even know it.
And I'm changing. I am changing. And I'm changing one day at a time. That's recovery, to just stay in the day and do the best I can. Do altruism. And that is the opposite. That is how I can beat my selfishness. And thank you for letting me share with that. I will pass.
Thank you, Elena C. in South Carolina. And now we have Monica S., followed by Janice P.M. Good morning, Monica.
Good morning. My name is Monica S. I'm a compulsive overeater from Detroit, Michigan, United States. So for this reading, I just wanted to say, like, what it was like before and what it's like now. Before, where it talks about lose interest in selfish things, my selfishness manifested as feelings that I was useless or that I am useless. So I had to overcome that feeling of uselessness by spinning my wheels and try to raise my self-esteem. And then I would have self-pity because I felt completely overwhelmed because I was consumed with trying to, like, people please to make myself feel better, like, as if to make myself feel useful. And because I felt useless, I couldn't reach out to fellows because I felt like I was useless. So why should I call them? I'm just going to bother them. And what's the point, you know, anyway. So after having, you know, worked the steps, now I'm not wrapped up falsely, quote, knowing that I'm useless. So I can reach out to others and know that I can be useful to them. And, you know, what do you know? They help me too. And we help each other because as human beings, we're supposed to be social. We're social beings. And I have to remember that. And I think I was scared that people would respond to me, you know, if I reached out to them by affirming that I suck. But the opposite is true. They affirm that I'm a cool person and a helpful person. So because the other thing is because I don't feel useless, I can help myself by just being in a better mood. And when I'm in a better mood, I can write my food plan. I can prep my meals and report it to my sponsor. I can read on awakening and work my 11th step in the morning and do my inventory at night, you know, knowing that it's helping to make me a more and more and more useful person. So, you know, same with steps 10 and 12. So I'm just, anyway, really thankful that we're doing this reading and thankful for the reminder and, you know, just thank you so much for being a part of my tribe. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Monica S. in Michigan. And then we've got Janice P.M., followed by Rivka R. and Sandy S. Good morning, Janice.
And good morning to you. And thank you so much for your service. I am a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater living in Massachusetts. And boy, I love these two steps together, too. I like all of the steps because, you know, food did for me, and then it turned on me. And other addictions turned on me. I would go to that food to get all these promises. And it turned on me. It was a boomerang. So my experience in these promises, which are miraculous, they're not magic. They're miraculous through, you know, doing these steps, especially in these two sentences, 4, 5, 6, and 7. And it's the action. And I noticed, you know, naturally that, of course, my body daily has to be in good condition. But these steps attack and help my mind. This is where the change is. And the changes with you know, we will lose interest in selfish. Well, that's my bottom line of my problem. Why I ate, why I gambled, why I controlled people. So that we did it. So I did it solely to please myself. And I thought, you know, as a compulsive overeater, you know, even though I was wrong, I never doubted that I was right. See, this is a spiritual part of it. Now, this is the dimension that's going to help us in our mind where the real problem is. The food didn't do this to me. The food didn't give me these promises. I sat in the rooms for years, loved to read about the promises, but nothing happened. Why? Because I didn't do the action to produce losing interest in other people. I was too self-absorbed. I was too grandiose. I was always trying to seek something in somebody else so that I could have it. Envious, jealous. You know, I was so self-righteous. And if I was successful, pardon me, if I was successful, it was because I did that. Well, there's no humility there. See, it all stuff to be reborn, to change my attitude, is in these steps. And it just addresses my mind. You'll see. I thought that to each promise, it never said my body, my food, my compulsive overeating. It's all about me changing my mind to think different. This is how this occurs with me. This is how I became reborn in my mind.
Time.
Okay. Well, with that, I desperately tried to get things back from foods, but I never turned it. Just like I said, it turned, and I received these miraculous promises every day. With that, I pass.
Thank you, Janice PM in Massachusetts. And then we've got Rivka R., followed by Sandy S. Good morning, Rivka.
Good morning. Thanks so much, Lindsay, for your service and everyone on the line and the wonderful share so far. It's Rivka R., gratefully recovered compulsive overeater in Baltimore. I actually wasn't sure if I should share on these sentences. Like maybe I haven't lost enough interest in selfish things and gained enough interest in my fellows. Like, you know, I'm not altruistic enough. I'm still very concerned about my own comfort and having what I need. And maybe that means self-seeking hasn't slipped away. I mean, self-seeking can slip back in a second. Like, you know, it happened yesterday when I, over such a small thing, like I drove into a parking lot of a grocery store and there was a woman who was taking a very long time to back into a parking space. And she's pulling up and back and up and back and up and back and stopping and like, you know, she's blocking me, you know, I'm in a rush, I'm not going to find a closer parking space now, and I honked at her, you know, up and back and up and back. I'm thinking, lady, you know, if you don't know how to do this, just pull in, don't back in. And I'm annoyed. Well, the time it takes her to pull in, let's say, was it all 3 or 4 minutes, like, you know, someone else pulls out, and I was able to get a much better parking space, and I had totally forgotten about God in that moment. I was just, you know, focused on self. I'd slipped into self-seeking and a drive to control this other woman and a drive to be right. You know, she shouldn't be backing in and a drive to be a victim. And she's going to make it so I can't get a bigger parking space. And then God winks and says, why are you getting annoyed? I'm doing this for your benefit. Oh, right, God. And even if that other space hadn't opened up, you know, this is what I want to waste even a second of emotional sobriety on? Like, wouldn't the serenity prayer have been a better choice than being annoyed and judgmental? So I can't say that self-seeking has totally slipped away, but I can say that at least when I'm annoyed, I can acknowledge there's something wrong with me and not with you. And that's a huge change in my whole attitude and outlook on life. You know, ultimately, we're living God's story. There's been so many powerful, vulnerable, real sharing on this line, you know, how far we've gone down the scale. And I love that history is his story. I heard it said that God is having a human experience through us. I mean, why he would want to do that, I have no clue. But I do know that it said that the light that comes after the darkness is a much greater light. You know, he creates me. He creates the darkness of addiction, especially this food addiction. And he creates what looks like the darkness of our challenges, like even that little challenge in the parking lot, to give me an opportunity for growth and connection, even in that little moment. And, you know, I'm embarrassed to say I blew it, and I hope I'm quicker to remember that God is everything or he's nothing. What's my choice to be, even in a crowded parking lot? And I'm just so thankful to everyone on this line who really helps me remember that every day. So thanks, everyone, for being there, and have a wonderful day. Pass.
Thank you, Rivka R. in Maryland. And then next up is Sandy S., and then we'll take another group of names. Good morning,
Hi.
Sandy.
Hi, good morning. This is Sandy S. from Florida. I don't really relate to selfishness and self-seeking as being at the root of my problem. For me, the root of the problem was terror and self-hate. And that is at the root of my problem. And for today, you know, March 3rd was 49 years of entire abstinence due to a spiritual experience. And I never thought that food was the problem. I knew it was me. I knew I hated myself. I knew I was in terror. And I'm so grateful for this group, for this program, for my higher power. I get into terror when good things happen because the self-seeking and the selfishness is the fear that my best efforts will not be enough to maintain what's wonderful in my life. So I'm constantly praying to God when things are good and when things are bad. But I shared before, the most miraculous thing has just happened to me. You know, my husband died a year and a half ago. He was definitely God's gift to me. He was so emotionally grounded. We loved each other. I never thought I'd have that in my life. And I just met someone else that, honestly, the loving connection, I'm actually crying when I say it, exceeds what I had with my husband. And I feel my husband sent this person to me. And we're day 21 being together, living together in Florida. And I am terrified. I am terrified that I will fuck it up. And that's the self-seeking. That's the not really, really, really surrendering to a higher power. So I just want to say for today, my intention is, number one, massive self-care. It's not selfish. It's hard, actually, meditating and everything else, but so worth it. I'm afraid to even say this. I have never been happier. In this state of terror that I'll fuck it up, I'm also experiencing moments of such incredible peace and loving connection, and that's all I ever wanted in life. And I'm just going to say this. I want to thank God for the gifts he's given me of perseverance, only wanting to know the truth. If I have any blind spots, if I'm missing something about myself that needs to be improved or changed or whatever it is, I want to know. And for this other person that I love, his name is Louis, I just want to be a loving presence. I just want to be a loving presence. And I want Louis and I to just give love and peace and whatever gifts we have to the world. And with that, I pass.
That's time. Perfect timing. Thank you, Sandy S. in Florida. All right, so before we take another group of names, I'll just remind everyone where we are. So we're in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous on page 84, the fourth line from the top. We will lose interest in selfish things through two sentences ending, self-seeking will slip away. So who else would like to share this morning?
Genoa B. in Nevada.
Gotcha, Genoa.
Betsy P. from South Carolina.
Gotcha, Betsy. Who else? We've got plenty of time.
Okay. Tricia D., Georgia.
Gotcha. Tricia?
Shir,
F. Say that one more time. I didn't get your first name.
Shir, S-H-I-R, F.
Gotcha, Shir. Great.
Matthew G.
Gotcha, Matthew. Awesome. All right, let's go with this lineup. I've got Genoa B., Betsy P., Tricia D., Shir F., and Matthew G. So, Genoa B., please go ahead.
Good morning, everybody. This is Genoa V. is in Victory in Nevada. And man, oh man, I had shared on Monday that I had recently had a relapse. And so just been going back and doing some intensive work. And, you know, I must say, it does work when you work it, working 10 steps on a daily basis, you know, because I'm the person who I don't think I need to do what you all do. And I've said it before and I keep falling into that, but I'm really, really trying with God's help on a daily basis to do this. And what really inspired me to share this morning was hearing the talk about selfishness, self-seeking. It has come to me that I have a couple of resentments that I've carried for well over 30 years. And I really didn't even realize it. And I started working on one this morning. I've been up since 3:30 because I want to get this done. I want to be free. I don't want anything, any shackles on me, blocking me from God. And I was writing, but I wanted to make sure that I was on the meeting, and I'm so glad I was, because what came to me was the biggest part of all of this was that people didn't follow my script. You don't want to be married to me? No, you're going to be married to me, and you're going to be happy about it. You know, just crazy. I did not realize how selfish and self-centered I was. I was truly trying to arrange the actors, the players, the stage, the everything, and when it all fell apart, there was self-pity. You know, why doesn't this person want me? Why? You know, just, oh my God, all of this because of me trying to make something that was never there. Oh my God, what an awakening this morning. My God is so, so good to me. I prayed, I asked God, please, please let me work through this. Let me see my part. Let me get free. And bam, there it is. And I am so grateful. And I just wanted to share that, you know, if you're holding on to stuff, we got to let that stuff go so that we can bask in the sunlight of the Spirit. I'm so grateful for you guys. Thank you for allowing me to share.
Thank you, Genoa V in Nevada. And then next up is Betsy P, followed by Tricia D. Good morning, Betsy.
Good morning. This is Betsy P from South Carolina. Recovering compulsive overeater, and I just love these promises. I've read them, you know, before, and in a way, while I was entirely abstinent and working the steps, some of these did come true for me during those times. I'm in relapse, and I'm not now. I've been abstinent now for about, today will be day 5, I think. But I've been, you know, feeling really bad about relapsing and just wondering what on earth, how am I continuing to do this? And thanks to, you know, all the people who call me, people that I call, my sponsor, all the conversations I'm having, thanks to God's voice, my ability to be able to find God's voice, to hear it. I'm learning, and it says this in the previous two sentences, that I'm gaining experience with these relapses. My first abstinence was lasted for about 2 years, and I did sponsor a good many people, short, briefly, who would call me and say, I'm a chronic relapser, and I had no understanding of that, and I'm getting an understanding of that with this experience. And it's not the way I would want to do it. If I were God, I would just make all this, you know, go away. I would remove any craving, any love of food from myself and just go out and be perfect. But that's, I'm not God. And so I believe that these experiences that I'm having will eventually make me useful. And I think I'm useful now. And when I become useful, I will be able to help my fellow compulsive overeaters. And so I'm just staying in prayer with God and giving him credit for whatever comes my way on a daily basis, sometimes moment by moment basis. And I'm working with my sponsor. I'm doing everything she tells me to. You all have been calling me, and it helps me so much. And I have been making outreach calls, which is something I don't like to do, but I'm getting to where I really like those outreach calls. So, you know, this whole thing about feeling of uselessness and self-pity will disappear, we'll lose interest in self things and gain interest in our fellow self-seeking will slip away. And my prayer is that God will remove these things from me and replace them with joy in working with others.
That's
and well, thank you so much. I pass.
Thank you, Betsy P. in South Carolina. And then we've got Tricia B. followed by Sheer F. Good morning, Tricia.
Good morning. This is Tricia D. from Georgia, outside Athens, Georgia. Love this paragraph and these two lines here. We will lose interest in selfish things and gain interest in our fellows. You know, as I listen to the shares this morning and I think about this is the program and just ditto on everything that's been said. It's been so beautiful to hear them. But this is a program of action, and I can't just remind myself enough that, yes, I can read this big, beautiful, big book, and if I'm using it as a textbook and not taking it down into my heart and taking it into where I have to do, I have to do the action, reminding you of that little ditty of three frogs are sitting on a lily pad and one decides to jump. How many are left? Well, there's still three left because one decided to jump, but she didn't take the action to really jump. So with some of these things, you know, getting out of myself has been probably the one of the greatest gifts in the 7 years that I've been with Vision for You. You know, it's only possible, though, with God's power, and I've tried to do it on my power. I wasn't even aware of how self-seeking I was. It says self-seeking will slip away. Our whole attitude and outlook upon life will change. I mean, going through all the steps and really focusing on doing 10 steps, you know, as frequently or as daily as I can, making those calls, you know, they're just getting me out of myself. Like sponsoring is like, what a gift to sponsor. What a gift to be able to share our recovery with someone else. You know, Bill Wilson tells us in the doctor's opinion, that, you know, and the doctor's thing also says that our recovery is based on helping others. And that is so true. If we don't give it away and pass it on, we're going to lose it. And I think what I keep being reminded of in sharing my work with other people and our journey is I've learned in so many ways how I have acted superior. And I have getting my value from other people's behavior, playing the victim. You know, these are things that, wow, I just was not even on my radar. And now I see today that just, wow, I had such a long way to go in my journey of surrender and being willing to, and that's when the food goes down, when I'm willing to just die to self. And I'm so grateful for this program and the 12 steps. And newcomers, please keep coming back. The transformation is amazing. And it's not about the food. It's about the buildup of emotions. And that's where we realize that how much God is doing for us, what we cannot do for ourselves. We never realized how bad it was. I never realized how bad it was. So I just thank you for letting me share. And what just, again, I thank you for all the beautiful gift that this program is to me. And thank you, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Trisha D. in Georgia. And then next we have Sheer F., followed by Matthew G. Good morning, Sheer.
Good morning. This is Sheer F. in New York. And, this promise is probably, I hadn't really thought about it, but I think it's the one that is most critical for me. It never even occurred to me that my life was supposed to be one of usefulness. It was always, well, what are you going to be? What are you going to do? What job are you going to get? Who are you going to marry? You know, are you going to have kids? Like all these things that are, it just is all about me. And it just didn't even occur to me to have the perspective to say, well, what can I give to the world? Not just, you know, like, how do I fulfill myself, but what is there to give? And through 25 years in program and working the steps multiple times, I finally realized that it's not about me. You know, if I'm trying to, you know, perfect my own skills and spiritual condition, the only reason for that is to use it to help somebody else. And I used to leave the classroom every day feeling like the worst teacher in the world. I did a terrible job. I was anxious and depressed all the time. And then through working the steps, I realized, you know, my job is not to be a great teacher. My job is to go into the room and be a good conduit for God. So now I pray before each class and I say, God, you know, let me go in there and use me to teach these students whatever it is that they need to know. Work through me to them. And I try to do that. I'm not as good at remembering to do it in conversations with people or in meetings or, you know, if I call another compulsive overeater, I really should be doing that before I talk to them and be, okay, God, you know, what can I give to this person? Please speak through me. I try to do it when I talk to my sponsees, or if I'm about to have a difficult conversation with somebody, I pray, you know, God, please help me to channel you into this conversation. You tell me what words I need to say. Oh my God, you know, what a better life, what a happier life I have ever since I've started doing that. And I feel more useful. I feel happier. And now when I get anxious, it's about, am I doing enough to help other people? What should I be doing? You know, I'm very unhappy about a lot of things going on in the world and how it's hurting people. And I want to help those people. And I start to get anxious about not being able to. And then I have to remember that I am just one of God's instruments. And I pray to be a good one. I pray to be a clean one, you know, so
that's
he can,
time.
They can flow right through me to where they need to be. But I'm just one person doing my best and trying not to be selfish. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Sheer F. in New York. And then next up is Matthew G. Good morning, Matthew. And let us know where you're calling from, please.
Good morning. Hi. Yes. My name is Matthew G. And I'm normally in Paris, France, but I'm currently in Dallas, New Mexico, being a service to my 92-year-old parents, which is a miracle to be able to do today. I hate sharing. I'm terrified. It's hard for me. I just want to express my gratitude. It's been 3 years now that I've been absent, and thanks to the good early direction of the steps and this amazing meeting. I love you all so, so much. It's just incredible. I'm so, so grateful. And self-seeking has slipped away. It has slipped away. It has slipped out the door. I didn't even see it happen. It just slipped away. And I didn't do it. God did it. You know, and I have to remember that. And if I ever fall back into self-seeking, I need to just bring it all back to step one. I need to bring it back to step one, like every day, to recognize that, you know, without God, I'm nothing, and that I need the good orderly direction of the 12 steps of my loving higher power, who I'm growing to to building a relationship with every day. See, I'm horrible at this, Sherry. I'm really horrible, but I love you all. You know, I just try to practice these 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous every day. This is the best of my ability, you know, and these are all spiritual principles. And it's I'm just so grateful that I'm no longer, you know, in the misery of just binging, you know, all night long, you know, just with drugs and alcohol, tons of drugs and alcohol and tons of more food all night. And that loneliness and just misery that I lived before, I'm just so grateful that it's gone. I'm just so grateful that that obsession has been lifted. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to following the good orderly direction of these 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. And today, you know, I have a new freedom and a new happiness for sure. And just today, I just need to, you know, ask, how can I be a more effective instrument for you today, God? Please remove my character defects that stand in the way of my usefulness to you and my fellows. And so that I can be a peacemaker, you know, and that I can seek serenity instead of, you know, self-centered fear, you know, and that I learn to trust my loving higher power more every day. I'm just immensely grateful that thanks to you guys, thanks to these 12 steps, I do have freedom and I just am so excited that I'm gonna be baptized. I'm an RCAA and next not this Easter, but I'm gonna be baptized. I'm just in the religion of my father and my grandfather. I'm just really grateful. Love you all. Sorry to be so emotional. Have a wonderful day. Love to all.
Thanks, Matthew G. from Paris, France. So we have time for about two minute shares. If a couple people would like to take those, who would like to share?
Ken W.H.
Gotcha, Ken.
Jen A.
Chris G. and
gotcha, Jen. All right, I got Ken W.H. and Jen A. So Ken, go ahead. You have 2 minutes.
Thank you. Ken W.H., recovered compulsive eater from North Carolina. I'm just going to throw something out here that'll it helps make me think. Self-seeking will slip away. Well, in another sense, and this is what's helped me a lot with this self-seeking and the whole concept of self, is to reconsider another or to consider a different self. And that self would be God. And so if I put God-seeking, that's not going to slip away. God-seeking is a good thing. That's self-care. And so instead of thinking in terms of self-seeking, for me, myself, I'm thinking of a different self as I look out at the life and look out at my recovery. That's the self I need to be looking at, that God self, and that then changes my whole perspective on myself. If I am living in the life that God has in mind for me, that God's own self is kind of running my show, then I've got a real chance at this thing, and I can keep living in this wonderful recovery. Thank you for letting me share. Pass.
Thank you, Ken W.H. from North Carolina. And then Jen A., please take us out.
Hey, Lindsay, good morning. This is Jen A., recovered in Colorado. What a kick-ass meeting. I mean, seriously, if you weren't crying, you know, did you have God bumps like me all the way up and down your spine? Welcome to the newcomer. You know, if you came here like I came here, it's the Jen Marie show. It's like, look at me, I'm Jen Marie, and everything should revolve around me, and, you know, why isn't life so grand? And, you know, I would try harder. I was that girl, pages 60 to 63, on a constant daily basis, just, you know, trying to get people to like me, trying to please people, trying to just run the show. And today, you know, I'm hearing about this beautiful orchestra that God's created, and we're all the instruments, you know, and we're playing this beautiful music in this program of recovery. But, you know, I was those clanging cymbals in the back and thinking, how loud can I be? And how can you hear me? And I want to be heard. And it's just a different mindset. It's a shift. Like it's been said, we do this inventory process and the shift happens. It doesn't happen by us. It happens to us. At least that's been my experience. God's given me a shift. He's given me awareness. And when I have that awareness, I seek him out and surrender my will and my life over to him. And he gives me the knowledge of how to carry it out pretty much if I listen. So I'm just grateful that I've gotten to hear all these awesome shares this morning and been able to participate in this meeting. And congratulations on 3 years, Matt. And, you know, to God be the glory. You know, we can never apologize for saying and talking about God in this program. It is a spiritual program, but God's the one that has pulled me from the depths of hell. And it's helped me to see the things in my life that were making me, you know, just a wrecking ball. And today I get to go to work, and I get, for the 11th year in my career at my job, I get to help open the 11th building and just shine for him. Just shine. Because why? I'm helping others. It's altruistic. I learned how to do it in Overeaters Anonymous with you all, and then I take it and practice it in all my affairs. My kids, my relationships, and my work.
That's time.
Seems to be working out pretty good. Thanks, Lindsay, and have a great day. Bye, y'all.
Thank you, Jen A. in Colorado. And thank you to everyone who shared this morning. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. The share ID for today, Thursday, March 13th, is 22,349. That is 22349. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Tamara C. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Yes, thank you. Tamara C., recovered compulsive overeater in Missouri. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.